Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 5 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the morally mundane stories, literally littering the Bible. I actually got it right first try.
First try.
As far as you're aware. This week we're wrapping up the story, not only the story of Joseph,
yeah.
We're wrapping up the story of this family.
Yes.
That we've been following.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, not great. That family's not great.
No.
I hate to say it. I know a lot of people really love this family, but not great. Again, I'm going to throw out a likeness scenario here. Very Kardashian. People seem to love the Kardashians. I personally don't think they're great.
No. Don't seem to exhibit a lot of the character traits that you would think would be associated with Christianity.
Yeah.
Teach their own,
exactly.
Yeah, we're wrapping up this story. We're going to be starting in Genesis chapter 42. And this is going to be part 2 of Joseph, now in Technicolor.
What's up?
So we got through the first half of the story of Joseph.
Oh yeah, that's right. That we only did the first half so far.
Right. So this is the second half of the story. And we're going to be finishing up the book of Genesis.
This
as well.
Remind me what happened in the first half.
I'm glad you're asking.
Spoiler alert. It's been a while since we recorded that one.
It's been like 2 weeks.
And whilst this is enjoyable, I also promised myself not to commit the Bible to memory.
That's good. So I'm glad you asked to review. Joseph was sold into slavery.
Yep.
He interpreted dreams for Pharaoh.
Yep. Okay. Right.
He interpreted that there's going to be 7 years of abundance and then followed by 7 years of famine.
And then he was the grocery store.
And then he basically became the grocery store. He's put in charge of all the food of Egypt, making sure that they take in a fifth of all of the food during the 7 years of abundance.
He lost track.
Yep.
So much.
Yep. So much so that he loses track of how much food they bring in. Not that that comes up again, but then it's also that they have food during the 7 years of famine. We also found out he was 30 years old at the beginning of the 7 years of abundance.
Okay.
And
so he's 37 when the 7 years
of famine starts. Yes. When the famine starts, he would have been 37. Yep. And then we are going to be starting in Genesis chapter 42.
Okay. And to be clear, he was 17 when he was sold.
Yes. So he's been in Egypt
for 20 years.
No. Oh, yeah. By the time the 7 years of famine is done. Yeah. Or 7 years of abundance famine is done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he would be, that would be
20 years.
20 years. Yes.
Correct. Math.
Right.
Biblical math.
Yep. It was 13 years when the famine started when the abundance started. Oh my God. this is setting a great tone for the whole episode.
Once we got through those mental gymnastics, it's like, does it even matter?
Right.
No.
Oh my God. The numbers are coming up quite a bit throughout this though. So it kind of starts off a little funny. I want you to imagine that you have all the brothers, all of his brothers and Jacob, you know, they're all living in Canaan still.
Okay.
And the famine has set in.
Right.
Okay. So they're getting hungrier and hungrier, basically, right?
Okay.
And I want you to imagine all of the brothers sitting around in the house, just staring at each other, and they're really hungry.
Trying to decide they're going to eat first.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then Jacob comes in. He sees them and he's all freaked out by them just sitting around staring at each other. And he says, and I quote, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?"
We're trying to decide which one to eat first. Whoever blinks
first dies. Yes.
I don't know why they're British all of a sudden. It's a very Harry Pottery thing to do.
It's probably what they would be if they made a movie of this, right?
That's true, yeah.
Or American for some reason. Right. So, it starts off, 42 starts off with Jacob just being like,
what the fuck's wrong with my kids?
Yeah. He learned that, so the famine is spread out beyond Egypt. It's all over the land, including Canaan.
That makes sense.
So he says, why do you just keep looking at each other? And he tells them, go to Egypt, get some grain so that we can live and not die.
Right.
Right. So then 10 of the brothers go to Egypt. All right.
Out of the how many?
Out of 11 brothers left.
Oh.
Joseph is obviously already in Egypt.
Right.
11 brothers are in Canaan. 10 of them are going to go to Egypt.
Okay.
Jacob specifically wants Benjamin to stay home.
He's the youngest.
He's the youngest, Joseph's only full brother.
Oh, his child, his only other child of his one true love.
His one true love, yes. Yes. His one wife that he actually loved.
Right.
And so, they keep pointing that out, that Benjamin is the new favorite.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And if the 10 are going to go off to Egypt and die, Jacob's like, eh.
Yeah, as long as I still have Benjamin.
Yeah, he's the one.
Essentially, yeah, he does kind of say similar stuff to that. He's basically like, he just does not want anything to happen to Benjamin.
Do you think Benjamin's a huge dick? He's got to be, right? Kind of like
Joseph was.
Yeah.
He might have. They don't say anything about him getting an ornate robe, though.
Oh, he's probably such a little prick.
Probably, yeah. Joseph is the governor of the land, as we all know. When the brothers show up, they bow down before Joseph because they have to come to him to get food.
Right.
So that's sort of a fulfillment of his dream. You remember with the haystacks and then also the stars.
Yep.
They were going to bow down before him. Sort of a fulfillment, but it's not all the brothers. And then there's this really funny interaction. So it says, as soon as Joseph saw the brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. He's like, where do you come from? And they go, we're from Canaan. We're just here to buy some food. And he goes, no, you're spies, basically, is what he says.
Okay.
And they're like, no, we're not spies. We're all the sons of the same man, right? We're brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not spies. We're honest men. And he's like, no, you're spies.
Okay. From where?
He doesn't specify.
Was Egypt in battle with somebody? Was there somebody that legitimately would have been like, we need to figure out how Egypt's doing this?
I would imagine they're probably. I mean, I feel like a lot of areas down there were battling each other out. And if Egypt had food,
right,
it might be a reasonable thing. But obviously, he knows that that's not the case.
Yeah.
But for some reason, their argument against it is, no, we're not spies.
We're all brothers.
We're brothers. We all have the same dad.
Yeah. That means we could not be spies.
Yeah.
And how ridiculous. 10 spies who are also brothers? That's a sitcom. That's not real life. He's stupid. He's smart. He's dirty. He's clean.
These two killed a whole city.
They made them circumcise themselves first. So they're crazy.
They are fucking nuts.
They're the loose cannons.
See what antics they get up to this season. All right. No, that's not what they say.
Okay.
So he's like, no, you're spies. And they're like, no, you know, we're brothers. We were 12 brothers. One of us is still back at home with our dad, and the other one is no more, right?
Right.
As if he's asking.
Right.
You know,
they're just
throwing
this out
there. One
of them is no more.
Yeah.
Which they all fucking know, well, except for one of them.
Except for Reuben.
Knows that he is, I mean, I guess maybe at this point they don't know whether he got killed after being sold or not.
It's been
20 years.
Yeah, it's been 20 years. Yeah. So yeah, they don't know. Joseph said to them, this is how I'll put you to the test on this. I'm going to lock up all but one of you, and the other one will go back home, get your brother, bring him to me, and prove that you're not spies.
Okay. None of this makes sense at all.
No, it doesn't. Well, it gets weirder because then he locks all of them up for 3 days. And then he lets all but one go.
This is very confusing.
Yeah. And they don't explain it, like why he changes his mind on this or anything.
Which one does he keep?
He keeps Simeon.
Ah. Brother
what, Reuben. When he goes and tells them that that's what he's going to do, Reuben, the oldest, the one who didn't know that he wasn't killed.
Right.
He is basically like, I fucking told you guys that this is going to happen. This is because we did what we did to Joseph, right?
Oh, so yeah. He's like 20. He's straight up like, remember 20 years ago when you guys killed our brother?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, something bad's going to happen. 20 years later, I was right.
Right. Even though they still don't know that this is Joseph.
Right.
And they actually tell us at this point that they don't even know that Joseph can understand them because they were speaking through an interpreter. So he's able to hear them. And he goes off and he weeps because of it. And then he comes back and has Simeon bound right before their eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
So
he goes off and weeps because he realizes.
Because he hears them basically lamenting what they did to him.
Oh, and that made him cry?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's kind of a soft kid.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess.
Soft kid who's 40, basically.
Yeah, and running a whole entire country.
Right.
And in charge of a food supply that's sustaining hundreds of people.
Right.
Thousands, maybe, but even by this point.
Not that it's a weakness for men to cry, but still.
It's not, but like, you know, why are you crying? Because your brothers are like, oh, we're so sad that we killed our brother.
Yeah.
Because 20 years later, this bad thing happened to us.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere. So, so he lets them go. He has their bags filled with all the grain and everything they came to buy.
And he keeps Simeon, though.
He keeps Simeon, but he puts all their silver back in their bags.
Okay.
So they don't end up actually having to pay for this, right? And it says, at the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to feed his donkey, and they saw the silver had been returned. And then their hearts sank, and they turned to each other trembling and said, what is this that God has done to us?
What do they think? What?
I know.
They got free fucking food.
Right. Yeah.
And all their money back.
But it scared them that like...
someone was nice to them?
Right. I think so.
What a...
After such a weird interaction, like, you know.
And they've been living a weird life.
Yeah.
And finally someone's nice to them and they're like, what have you done to us?
Yeah. And so they get back home and they tell Jacob what happened, and then they open up their sacks again and they find the money again and they're all scared again. It was like they've found it again.
They have that memento disease.
Right. Yeah.
No short-term memory whatsoever.
Right. It was a really odd thing where it was like they found it all over again, completely fresh. So they're trying to talk Jacob.
You know, these boys are stupid.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
They're fucking stupid. They're like flies. Just have no memory whatsoever, just buzzing around from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
They were sitting around all staring at each other. Like, they're all just really dumb.
Yeah, they're definitely not the brightest. Not like Joseph apparently is. So Reuben's trying to talk Jacob into letting them go back with Benjamin to get Simeon back and everything. And Jacob's like, no, you're not going to do it.
Fuck Simeon.
It kind of is. He
did this to himself.
I know. He was like, you want to take away, like, I've lost so many sons. You want to take away another one, essentially. He actually goes, everything is against me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. He's lost so many sons.
Well, he's lost Joseph, and now he's lost Simeon.
Oh.
His idea. And now you want to take away Benjamin.
That's still, the numbers are still in his favor at that point.
He's still doing fine.
Really, what he's saying is, I've lost my most important son.
Right.
Who is better than all of you, and now you want to take the second most important son, who, again, better than all of you assholes. you could all just go there and stay. It's fine.
Yeah. Why couldn't they have just sent Simeon back?
I really wish y'all would have just stayed there. My life would have been way better.
Right.
Pain less in the ass. To feed. You're all adults. Why are you still here? Yeah. Why am I taking care of you assholes? I know why. You're all stupid.
Right.
Because traditional you, Jewish father.
Because you all decided to get literary arts degrees. And now you're crashing on our couch again. I'm never going to retire.
With your five wives.
I'm never going to retire.
20 fucking children. Like, there's grandbabies running around here that I don't even know if they're mine. These kids, they just keep showing up.
So the famine was severe in the land. So some time passes, basically. Jacob is like, all right, we're running out of food.
Again.
You need to go to Egypt and try and get more. Some more.
Okay.
Right. And Judah, this time, who we remember from the little side story we had about him.
Yes.
Not that any of this applies to the side story, but
this was in his later years when he ends up sleeping with his son's dead son's wife when she was pretending to be a prostitute.
Right.
And got her pregnant.
This would be after all of that happened.
After he did all of that.
Well, he's just there back with the brothers, apparently.
Okay.
You know,
Right.
There's no explanation of like when does he come back to.
I mean, they all live together.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's just this odd thing. Anyway, so Judah's back.
Okay.
And Judah's basically like, look, we can't go back there without Benjamin. The guy said that we can't show our face to him without having our brother. That's not what Joseph said.
Right.
You know. He adds a little bit of flair to it. But he's basically like, look, we need to bring Benjamin. And Jacob finally is just like, fine. You know, bring some gifts with you to give them.
Yeah.
And then bring twice as much money in case they gave you that money back by accident.
Oh.
Right.
Right.
So, and we get a list of the gifts that they're able to bring, which is balm, honey, some spices, and myrrh, as well as pistachio nuts and almonds. Just in case you're curious about this.
Those are all very good gifts.
They are good gifts.
Mothers still get those for Christmas every year.
That's true, yeah. So they head back to Egypt with Benjamin.
Wait, they had almonds?
Yeah.
You know how much water it takes to grow almonds?
Yeah.
A shit ton of water.
They are in Canaan, they would be by a sea.
So why are they hungry? Eat the fucking almonds then.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Nuts are a huge source of protein. Yeah.
They keep for years though. So maybe like this is a store of.
Yeah, but that means so you're giving food away to get more fucking food.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Stupid.
Delicacy food.
I guess, but you know. Food, nonetheless.
When Joseph sees them in Egypt, he has his servant bring them to his house for lunch.
Right. And his palatial estate, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds like it from this. So they're worried when they get there, obviously, because they think, oh my God, we're going to be overpowered and they're going to try and take us into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who would do that?
Oh my goodness. Who would sell a boy that doesn't belong to them?
Right. So they talk to the servant, the head servant for Joseph's house, and are like, look, when last time we came here, we found the silver in our bags and everything, and we don't know what's going on.
Really freaked us out.
Yeah, really. Twice.
We put it in the corner and didn't spend it because we were like, I don't think this is ours anymore. And if we spend it, somebody's going to come and kill us.
Right.
Like, this is really weird. So it's just been in a corner this whole time.
Right.
You might as well keep it.
And the steward's like, no, it's fine. I'm the one that put it in there. So Joseph shows up. He asks about their father and stuff like that. How's he doing? He sees Benjamin and he's really moved by it. He goes off and cries.
Joseph?
Yeah. And then
you got to figure the last time he saw Benjamin, that Benjamin was.
Would have been 20 years ago.
Well, and Benjamin would have been like a baby almost.
Right.
We weren't sure exactly how years they were apart, but he would have been much younger. And 20 years is a long time, and it's probably more than 20 at this point. If they're like halfway through the famine, it could be 24 years. And
an
8-year-old versus a 24-year-old. Actually, an 8-year-old, if he was 8, and it's been 24 years. So he's in his 30s.
We're about to find out that it's been 2 years into the family.
Okay.
So
he might be in his 30s at this point.
Right.
This Benjamin person.
Right. Interesting verse here. This is chapter 43, verse 32. They served him by himself, Joseph. The brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. So it's a little foreshadowing of the racism that's already there between Egyptians and Hebrews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know, like, as everybody knows, they're about to go into slavery, essentially, between Genesis and Exodus. They end up in slavery.
Oh, yes, the Egyptians enslave the Hebrews.
Yes.
That's right.
So it's a little bit of foreshadowing that those tensions are already there.
Do the Egyptians know that Joseph is Hebrew?
They don't specifically say that, although you could you might be able to interpret this passage as Egyptians know that he's Hebrew, but they don't specifically say that.
Right.
So
interesting.
Joseph has grain filling all their sacks, you know, has their sacks filled with grain. Mm. And has
it's either a really good deal or an Egyptian torture device.
Right. Could totally see that. Yeah.
Have their sacks filled with grain. And the brothers are like, woo. And then like 5 minutes
somebody
later,
comes out with
like,
a knife.
Fuck. I take back my glee.
I mean, I'm so glad to get food, but
I can't taste it in my balls.
He has them fill their sacks with grain. And he puts the money back, has them slip the money back into those sacks again. But then he tells his servant to put a silver cup of his in Benjamin's bag.
Okay.
Slip that in his bag.
Right? Sure.
So then he says goodbye to the brothers. They head off. As soon as they're out of sight or like a little ways away, he tells the servant, hey, they stole my cup. That one I told you to put in that sack. Go get them. Right?
Okay.
So the servant goes off. Basically, the brothers are like, we didn't steal anything. If anybody has your cup, you can make them a slave, but we haven't stolen anything. And then, of course, they find it in Benjamin's bag. So they all come back to Joseph's house.
Right. So their first statement was, you can take the one person who stole it if you find it. But then because it was Benjamin, all the brothers were probably like, fuck.
Yeah, let's go back.
This is the worst case scenario, because if we come back to dad without him, he's going to be like, you might as well never have come back at all.
Right.
So I guess that's just
I hate all of you. And I hated your mothers.
They were just holes.
I never loved them or you. Anyway.
I only fucked one of them because your grandpa made me. Tricked me in the night.
All I wanted was two kids. But it was those two kids. Joseph, you know, basically is like, I can't believe you stole it from me. And Judah is saying, look, just take me as a slave. Okay. You need to let Benjamin go back. He basically recounts the entire story leading up to this.
Okay. Like their whole life.
Well, of them coming to Egypt the first time and all that stuff. Like from then on, he basically recounts the whole story. He adds in a little bit of
my
more
wife
dialogue
died,
that wasn't
and then
there.
My son died, and then my other son died because he spilled his seed on the ground. And then I fucked his wife and got her pregnant because I thought it was a prostitute.
I wish he dug into all that too, but he doesn't. It's almost like that was a completely separately written story. if we don't come back with Benjamin, our father's going to die.
Wow. So that's a lot of pressure for a kid.
So you need to let him go back. Joseph is finally just like, it's me.
Oh.
He sends everybody, all of his attendants and everybody, sends everybody out. And then he tells them, I'm really your brother. And, you know, I'm still alive, obviously.
Clearly, I'm doing way better than all of you.
Right. So they all, you know, cry and
I'm so sorry.
He's basically saying, like, it's okay. God sent me ahead of you in order to save people's lives.
Oh, you that know? Would happen. So
it's not really you that did this. It was God.
Thanks for selling me into slavery, guys. Because of that, I have this cushy life now.
So right.
I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not mad at you.
Everything basically worked out for him, right? So. Yeah.
I got fucked a couple times while I was a slave, but you know, we'll move on from that.
Right. I mean, I did what I had to do in prison.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know.
You were in prison? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't an easy cut to get here, but I did. And I've heard y'all have just been sitting around in circles staring at each other. So who's the winner?
I got really lucky that Pharaoh had these dreams and I just kind of called the whole abundance and famine thing. I had no idea it was going to happen. And then news reaches Pharaoh that that the brothers are back and everything. And he's all happy about this.
Really?
Yeah. So, and I forgot to mention this. Joseph tells them to go get Jacob and bring Jacob and everybody back to Egypt to live permanently.
The whole clan.
He's going to set them up in a region called Goshen.
Okay.
Which is kind of important. It comes up in Exodus again. But that's going to be the area in which the Israelites live. So Pharaoh hears about this. He tells them to basically go and, you know, take some carts with them. Here's 10 male donkeys filled with a bunch of all the good stuff of Egypt. And then, like, 10 female donkeys with provisions for the journey and all that kind of stuff. And he's really welcoming for them to come and enjoy the fat of the land.
Okay.
Okay.
Land fat.
The land fat. That's what they grow in Egypt. Land fat. they head back home, the brothers do, and they tell Jacob what happened. And Jacob is relieved. Of course. And, you know, he's so happy.
He makes a new coat.
No, the coat never comes up again, Lindsay. Let go of the coat, Lindsay.
I can't. That's so important.
No, it's weird. Because yeah, you would think that there would be somehow it would come back up again. Right. But no, it never comes up.
Like, this would be the point in the Disney movie where, like, Jacob would be so overjoyed that, like, the birds and the mice would all be like,
the birds and the mice would make
come together coat. And make the coat in a very Cinderella-y sort of fashion.
Right. God's there giving him a thumbs up.
Yep. From the background.
Right.
Real Buddy Christ moment.
Yep. Jesus is there.
You don't know me yet, but I'll be important soon.
Hey. Just thought I'd stop in and say hi. On the way, they stop and make sacrifices to God.
Of course.
God shows up.
Of course.
In a vision to Jacob. And he's like, Jacob. I'm guessing he's whispering.
Yeah. Whisper yelling.
Yeah. And he's like, here I am. And God basically tells him, you're going to go to Egypt and surely I will bring you back here for when you die. Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. So you're going to see Joseph and then you're going to die. It's kind of what he's saying.
Right.
It's kind of what he's saying. But
okay.
And then they end up listing out all the names of the sons who are going to Egypt and all of their kids.
Oh my gosh. They list all of those names?
Yeah, it's Reuben's sons and Simeon's sons.
Oh, Simeon. So they, because that's, I had that question, right? Because they went back and they took Benjamin, but there was no mention of like, and he freed Simeon to go back with them because Simeon was enslaved, right?
Oh, yeah. They did free Simeon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they did bring him out.
Right. So okay.
I must have missed that part, but to be clear, yeah, Simeon's like, not. Simeon's all this still isn't in just a, happening.
Simeon's just has still no idea what's going on.
Just nobody cares.
Just washing some lord somewhere.
Washing a lord.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, rich people don't bathe themselves back then, right?
Probably.
They get oiled up by their slaves.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair. But no, he's there too. And we do actually, I didn't think of this until just now, but the sons of Benjamin. And he has like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh my God.
10 sons. Oh. Benjamin does at this point.
Does it list any daughters of anybody?
It doesn't list any daughters at all.
Oh, wow. It's real sausage it's, fest.
Yeah. I mean, there could be daughters, but they're specifically listing out
yeah. sons. They didn't list Dinah in there at all.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Poor Dinah. Well, she's probably the wife of one of the brothers at this point, right?
Maybe. Maybe. As they're getting closer, Joseph comes out to meet them. And he throws his arms around Jacob. And there's this really, you know, Jacob's so happy. He's like, now I can die knowing that you are alive. Kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Joseph tells his brothers, all right, we're going to go meet with Pharaoh. When we meet with him and he asks you, what do you do for an occupation? Tell him that you're shepherds. I don't know why he's giving them this instruction, but it does say, then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. No idea what this means or the significance of it, you know?
Yeah, that's boggling. Shepherds are detestable. So a chosen occupation, I guess back then you didn't really choose an occupation, right? You were mostly born into it.
Right. And all of them are supposedly born into this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So he's like, here are all my brothers. They all do jobs that you hate.
Yeah.
So give them land because they are my brothers, but make sure it's far away that I don't have to talk to them every day.
Basically. And you don't have to smell them.
Right. Yes.
I think that's...
We all eat sheep here, but we don't want to see the food before we eat it.
Right.
Basically is what we're saying.
I do think that is a thing where shepherds did not smell great.
Yeah.
You know, because first of all, you're sweating all day. And second of all, sheep smell fucking terrible.
Well, all cattle.
Well, they do. Yeah. Sheep, I think, are especially bad. Like the lanolin just in their wool is smells horrible.
Yeah. So I come from a...
Oh, yeah.
A very storied line of sheep herders. And right. I think we all smell great.
You smell fine. You know. But when was the last time you touched a sheep?
It's true. Nobody smelled great back then.
No. I mean, Pharaoh probably was rubbed with roses every day.
Yeah, but legit, he just smelled like BO and roses. It's not like the smell of roses actually covers up body odor.
No,
not at all. And his ass probably stank too. It's not like they were shoving roses up his asshole.
Well, you think that.
They didn't have toilet paper back then.
We don't know that for a fact.
They were just squatting over something and letting it drop out and then going on their fucking merry way. Right.
I really wonder how they handled that when you're in a giant palace
right?
back then.
Yeah.
You know, it had to
pot that he and people yeah. came and took him away.
That's what Potiphar did for him.
Gross.
So they, you know, meet with Pharaoh and then Jacob meets Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like, how old are you? And Jacob tells him he's 130 years old. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And they kind of just go on with their...
Wait, he's only 130?
That's what he's saying, yeah.
But he's older than that.
So we're going to get into that a little bit.
Because when Rachel died, Rachel, right, his wife, she was 90 something because she had Benjamin and then she died, right? And it said she was 90 when she had Benjamin.
Yeah.
And he was older than her.
Yeah. We'll get into it in a minute. Like his age and everything. Like there
I guess
is,
maybe 130 makes...
There's some numbers to this
that okay.
I can get into.
All right. But you're like, shut up. I'm getting into this later.
Yeah. I do have a thing for that. But the do you remember in the last episode you were asking about does Joseph ever become a dick because of he's in charge of all the food?
Yeah, you remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
He does. And so this passage kind of goes through that. This is 47. Starting in verse 13, I'm not going to read it all out. You know, they're charging everybody in Egypt and Canaan for food. And eventually all of the money runs out.
Right.
Pharaoh has all of the money. Yeah. And so people of Egypt came to Joseph and said, give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up. Then bring your livestock, said Joseph. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock since your money is gone. So they bring all of their donkeys and horses and all of their livestock, and they bring them to Joseph in exchange for food, and that gives them another year's worth of food.
Right. How far into the famine are they?
Not far enough.
Yeah.
So they run out of food again after a year.
Right.
When that year is over, they came to him the following year and said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone, our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land." So Joseph buys all of the land of Egypt for Pharaoh.
Right. And them. And the
people. And buys the people. Yeah.
That's how slavery starts.
And Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. So Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four fifths you may keep as seed for you may keep for yourselves," which is what they've already been doing, right? They've been giving a fifth of everything they grow.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Like, he's making them buy their own food back.
Right, exactly. They're the ones who gave it to them so that they wouldn't die during the 7 years of famine.
If somebody would have came, say in our neighborhood, right? Yeah. Like, we were like, okay, zombie apocalypse is going to happen. We're going to build a wall around us. And we're going to plan on like not having to go outside of that wall, which means some of us have to farm and stuff like that. But you're going to farm and you're going to give some of that to us because during the winter.
And we should put you in charge because you're saying that this is going to happen.
Right. Right.
But yeah.
During the winter, right, we can't grow food. So we need stores.
Right.
So they grow the corn and the potatoes and shit that can grow in Michigan, carrots and
cherries.
Yeah. They give let's just say a fourth of it for storage for the winter. Yeah. And then winter comes around and whomever we deemed in charge is like, okay, now $20 from you and $20 from you and $20 from you. And you can have these groceries. Mm-hmm. I would be like, no, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I gave you that food.
Right.
For free.
Right.
With the idea that you would give it back to me later.
Exactly.
That's fucked up. I'm going to kill you now.
Right. So they respond similarly when they say, "You have saved our lives."
Ah.
They said,
"Oh my God.
May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh."
Wow.
And then we're going to kind of blow through the next couple chapters because basically chapter 48 is Jacob blessing Joseph's sons.
Okay.
And I mean, feel free to read it if you want.
But yeah. Nothing, no one cares.
Nothing. There's nothing crucial to the story about it, really. 49 is Jacob blessing his own sons, which is kind of a curious title. This is the title the NIV Bible gives it. Jacob blesses his sons.
He hadn't blessed them up to this point.
The reason why it's curious is because Simeon and Levi, for example, it says, "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger, hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel." That's his blessing for them.
Okay.
And just as a reminder, those are the ones that
made all the men circumcised themselves and then murdered them.
Yeah. So it's not really like it's called a blessing for them, but it's not really a blessing for all of them. And then Jacob dies. Joseph throws himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph directed the physicians to embalm his father. They embalmed him for 40 days. And then the Egyptians mourned him for 70 days.
Did he become like this important? I mean, they all moved to Goshen, right? Wasn't that the whole point? So they were, but then the Egyptians mourned the Hebrew shepherd.
Yeah, yeah.
Who they had two things that they hated.
Right, that he was Hebrew and a shepherd.
Yeah. But they mourned him for 70 days.
That, it kind of just speaks, I think, to the position that Joseph was in.
I got you. You know? They weren't just like, this guy's dead.
Basically, Joseph is now their slave master.
Oh, that's true.
So they have to kind of
force the celebration.
Right. So Joseph asks Pharaoh for permission to bury Jacob back in Canaan, because Jacob wanted to be buried with his fathers.
Right. Also, God said he would.
And Rachel's buried there in the same spot too. So Pharaoh not only gives him permission, he has this, he has like all of his highest level officials go with them. He sends horsemen and carriages and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's kind of like a whole Egyptian royalty parade.
Right.
To take Jacob back to Canaan to lay him to rest.
Okay.
So it's this, you know, again, like I was saying in the last episode, this crazy sort of finale to the story of especially Jacob, but kind of the family as a whole, that this is what they have been brought up to, mm-hmm. that they would have this kind of a treatment.
Right. He once slept on a rock.
I know. Yeah.
And now he's got a whole Egyptian processional taking him back to his homeland.
Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of weird verses here where it says, after burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. But then immediately after that, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father has left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. So they're telling him that Jacob had said, forgive your brothers before he died. He didn't.
No.
At least not that they
like father, like, or like father, like son, though. Sons, right?
Yeah.
Jacob got a lot of the shit he got from being shady as fuck.
Right. I don't know why it's even included, though, because Joseph is just like, it's fine. We talked about this already.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Well, they're not.
Everything worked out.
And they have memento disease.
That's true. Yeah. Seems like they do. We finally come to the end of the book of Genesis, and we hear, and they tell us about the death of Joseph. Right before he dies, he summons his brothers together and tells them that basically God's going to deliver all of our people out of Egypt to the land that he promised Abraham, which is Canaan.
Okay.
So that's the promised land.
Isn't that where his dad's buried?
Yeah. But they're promising, God promised to give them Canaan. That land.
Okay.
Right. So
how many of his, he died. Not all of his brothers are still alive. There's no way.
They don't say. So Joseph died at the age of 110. You know, he was 110 and he was the second youngest.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right. Man. They're all old fucks at this point.
So that's the end of Genesis.
Yay.
Yes. So let's talk about Jacob's age.
Okay.
So there's this interesting
timeline. Math.
I did.
All right.
I did. So Genesis, I'm just going to take you through a few verse references here because they do point out ages and times, years and stuff that pass at a few different places. And if there is an explanation for this, I would love to hear it. Genesis 25, chapter 25, verse 26. We find out that Isaac is 60 years old when Esau and Jacob are born.
Okay.
All right. Genesis 35, 28. Isaac dies, and we find out he's 180 at that point. So Jacob, if you do the math on that, is 120 years old at that point, right?
Sure.
In Genesis 37, 2, Joseph, we find out, is 17 years old when he's sold into slavery.
Yep.
We don't know how much time passed between Isaac dying and Joseph getting sold into slavery, but for argument's sake, let's say it happened the next day.
Okay.
Genesis 41, 46, Joseph is 30. When the 7 years of abundance starts. Mm-hmm. So 13 years in Egypt. And then Genesis 45, 6, it's been 2 years into the famine before Jacob comes to Egypt. I mean, and technically it could have been longer than that by the time Jacob actually gets to Egypt, but let's just say it's 2 years. Genesis 47, 28, Jacob lived in Egypt for 17 years before he died, we find out. So 120. Plus 13, plus 7, plus 2, plus 17 is 159.
Okay.
So Genesis 47, 9, when Jacob first came to Egypt and met Pharaoh, Jacob said he was 130 years old when he first came to Egypt. And then in Genesis 47, 28, it says that Jacob dies at 147 years old.
Okay.
So there's a 12-year discrepancy here.
Ah.
And it's completely unaccounted for. When he's 130 years old.
Because they never expected anybody to know that. I mean, they didn't do the math when they did it.
Yeah. Well, what's weird is like, I looked for explanations online and I couldn't find any. Like, nobody has noticed this. People have noticed similar ones. There's other ones even in the book of Genesis where this has happened. I've never found anything on this.
So how old did they say when he died?
They say he was 147.
Which lines up with the fact that he was there for 17 years.
And yeah, when he got there, he said he was 130. They say he lived 17 years there.
Yeah.
So that lines up. But when you actually do the math, he was 120 when Isaac died. Mm-hmm. And then assuming right after that is when Joseph is sold into slavery. The only thing that could make these numbers line up is if there was overlap in the stories.
Right.
So if Isaac had died after Joseph had already been sold into slavery, right? 12 years after Joseph had been sold into slavery.
Right.
That would be the only thing that would make sense. But nobody mentioned any of that.
Right.
And according to my study Bible, they already think Rachel's dead when Joseph is sold into slavery.
Yeah, well, she dies when she has Benjamin.
Right. So yeah, it was just this really weird thing where you can't really tell what the right answer is. It seems like it's a basic math failure.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, they weren't worried about that. It's like they wrote this book and weren't expecting an entire fucking world to use it as a guide for how to live their lives.
I know.
It's like they were just writing stories.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, no one's going to sit down and do the math. I mean, he said he was 130. He died 17 years later. He's 147.
Right. Yeah. So I realized, though, there is somebody who could shed some light on this.
Okay.
And I was thinking we could actually call in and see if they can let us know what they think actually happened. Okay.
All right.
So hopefully they're going to answer. Otherwise, it's going to be a terrible section of the podcast. But let's see. God? Are you there, God? It's me, Josh. Hey, yeah. It's been a long time. I know. Sorry about that. So I've just got a quick question. What? Sure. I'll hold. Oh, hey, yeah. Thank you. Hey, I know you're busy. Thank you for jumping on the show and letting us ask. It's a podcast. No, it's kind of like radio over the internet. Look, yeah. Oh, sorry. I know you're busy. You're busy ignoring the Detroit Lions, right? Okay, that's fine. Okay. So I don't know if you're aware of this or if you've been paying attention or anything, but there's a whole bunch of people down here who are really into your book. The Bible. The one with Moses and Jesus, maybe Mormon. I don't really know who that is, but doesn't matter. People have been like alienating their families over this book. People have gone to war over this book. People have died because people take this book literally. And I think we found an error. Well, you remember Jacob, right? Yeah, you wrestled him all night. No, it didn't mention that you were both naked. But he was 120 years old when his dad died, right? And then the Bible mentions 13 years plus 7 years plus 2 years plus another 17 years before Jacob died. Exactly. Wait, no. That's 159. Can you not count? Actually, studies are showing that people are all visual learners, and it kind of depends on the context of the lesson, but it doesn't matter. Can you just let everybody know what you meant with the Bible? People are using this book to justify slavery and genocide and Kanye West, and we have hundreds of denominations down here. Too busy ignoring the Detroit Tigers. Right. Okay, got it. Well, I'll let you get back to that. Maybe I'll talk to you in another 10 years. Thanks for nothing, I guess. All right, that's it. I guess God's not going to let anybody know what's going on about this. And it's just our responsibility, everybody listening to this podcast, it's your responsibility to spread the word that God can't count. And I know some of you might be dubious that I actually spoke to God, but you have to understand, it's a matter of faith. That said, if you are still dubious of it, go to BibleStoriesForAtheists.com, go to the contact page, fill out the little form there with proof that I wasn't speaking to God. And if not, if you don't have any proof, I would love to read it if you do, but if you don't have any proof, you have to tell people that God can't count. That's it.
Well, I'm jealous that I didn't get to be involved in that conversation. I have a lot of questions.
You didn't hear them?
No, it must be faith, because I just assumed you were talking to an imaginary person.
Well, that's just blasphemy. That is the story of Joseph. That is the wrap up of the story of that whole family.
My best friend from high school always was also never religious, and but she was always very interested in people who were religious from like an outside perspective. And like her statement on the Bible was like, this would be a really great story, but they really needed like writers groups back then.
Totally.
Because it's poorly written.
It really is. Like, right. We never found out what the camp of God was. Like, what happened when those angels met with Jacob? We never find out what people saw in Joseph to make them think, even though he's in slavery and he's in prison,
yeah,
why God is showing him favor.
So that just leads me back to the idea that, like, people wrote this book not expecting it to
Be analyzed
yeah, and used still to this day. It's never been really clear to me. Like, I know that they say like books were written by certain people.
Yes.
But like, do we know that those books were written by certain people?
Fuck no.
Right.
Not ultimately. So, like, there's no way we could know that this was absolutely, it's just the tradition, right, that this was written by Moses. Who knows if it was written by committee? Maybe Moses and several other people wrote this.
Other people who actually existed,
yeah,
sort of thing. Like, I don't know how historically accurate the actual people in this book is. Mm-hmm. But knowing that these stories take place so long ago, I can only assume that the original tellings of these stories were verbal.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. Well, No, I don't think so. I think we do have the original writings. Pretty sure the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes, but how long did these stories exist before those were written?
I think those were when they were first written. I think so. I don't know for a fact.
So was somebody following this family around writing it down?
Well, no.
Right.
No, this is divine inspiration that Moses got from God.
Oh, okay. What happened. All right. That's right. God told him the story.
Him the story of this whole family.
So God's just a shitty storyteller.
Yeah. Now we're on the same page.
I gotcha.
Yes.
Because he's like a 5-year-old hyped up on sugar that's like, and I woke up and my mom, she let me watch cartoons and have cereal. And then I ate dinner and went to bed. Or did he just talk really fast and Moses was not good at writing?
Maybe.
And he was just like, have you ever tried to take notes during a class and then you read your notes afterwards and you're like, I have no idea what the fuck constantly. I was trying to write down.
I am terrible at taking notes in like as something is being said to me.
Yeah.
It's one thing like this when you're writing notes while reading something. Right. But
because you can pause.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there's a couple of different scenarios. God's a shitty storyteller. Moses is a poor note taker. Third scenario is none of it ever happened at all. Fourth scenario is that both God is a shitty storyteller and Moses is a terrible note taker. Five is that Moses made all of this up.
Yeah.
And is just...
I'm pretty sure it is that too, because like I said, going through that, it was so weird, especially throughout the story of Jacob, how everything was all about why stuff was named what it was named. Like, yeah. That was the biggest thing that just kept coming up over and over again. Like, this is why this is named this. This is why this is named this. And it's like, what is the point of that? Why are we?
It's establishing history.
Yeah. Establishing a new history is what it strikes me as.
Yeah.
I do actually have some books on order to dive into like the actual secular history of the times.
Okay.
Like something that's factually based.
Right.
You know, not like presuming the Bible is accurate and going from there.
Right.
But let's
actual history.
What actually was going on back then?
Carbon dating.
Yeah. Like what happened with like, how did all of this, all of these writings kind of come to be? What was really happening between the different nations in the area of that time? So that's what I'm hoping to get some information on and eventually share on the podcast. I don't know when, but.
Right. I would be very interested in that piece of it because it does. I mean, you know, societies have used storytelling and things like that to create history so that you don't forget it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the whole point is you want to be able to know how your people came to be or what happened, you know, down the line or in where you lived and things like that. Again, not entirely certain they expected it to become this massive thing that rules so many people's lives.
Yeah.
It's not even clear to me that it wasn't written for children. I mean, other than the fact that it gets real macabre in places.
Yeah, it does.
But like the way it's written seems to me like it was written so that kids could learn history and and morals and things like that. Like it's
It's written that way, except there are no morals
right. To
be had right. In these stories.
Right.
Well, except don't sell your brother into slavery.
The morals of the time, the morals they wanted their children to have.
Yeah.
Right. Which is different than like.
So looking at these stories, what would you say are morals that they would have been trying to impart? Like even if we wouldn't consider them morals today, what do you think?
What morals are they trying to impart?
Yeah.
Well, women are shit and only good for having babies, right? Don't give them jobs or thoughts or anything like that or tell their stories because they don't matter.
Right.
That's the big one.
Yeah, there's no
the
stories.
The firstborn is the most important.
Firstborn is most important.
Yeah. God has favorites.
Yes. Yeah.
If God loves you, then you'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that's still used to this day.
Right.
As a moral. Yeah. Right? A moral that
if you're not successful, then
you're not favored in God's eyes. Favored. Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, it's a real good way to teach poor people.
You're not being faithful. There's something wrong.
You know why you're poor.
Yeah.
Like, don't hate me.
Right.
It'd be like Joseph being like,
it's because of your internet history or something.
You did something. I saw what you did with that sheep. And while we don't like shepherds.
With that shit sheep.
So, you know.
That's why Egyptians found shepherds detestable.
So morals might not be the right word. Like, you know, instructions for life or reasons as to why your life is the way it is.
Right.
Why do these terrible people have money and these fabulous people are poor? Well, God loves them more, obviously. That's
right.
What it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the morals I got from the,
which is not far off from karma.
Right.
As a concept.
None of the ideas are original.
No.
I mean, the people and the events that they've made up around the ideas are theirs, but the idea of things had existed for so long before they put their pen to paper.
I might be mistaken about this. I might be thinking of Exodus, but I believe most of this is being taking place around 1800 BCE.
Okay.
So just as a reference point, if I am wrong about that, it's only off by a few hundred years.
Right.
You know, it might be a few hundred years earlier. Also, next episode, we're going to start digging into Exodus.
Fun.
Yeah.
Exodus was, if anything, the birth of this podcast.
It really was. It totally was. And I'm glad we're kind of holding off on doing it because I feel like we kind of gained some steam. Like we've worked out some issues throughout doing this. We're a little bit more honed.
Yes.
You know, at this point. So I'm glad to do that before going into Exodus because it's crazy. Just from rereading it again, like I've been doing lately, I'm so excited to get
into it. I'm so excited too, because while the stuff that we talked about was super crazy and obviously not in line with anything I believe from like a female perspective or like a smart person's perspective, like I really want to get into some real crazy shit.
Right.
Because I know it gets crazy.
It does. It does. All right. As always, they all lived miserably ever after. Thank you so much for listening to Bible Stories for Atheists. For more information or to reach out, please go to BibleStoriesForAtheists.com or BSFA.cc.
I like how you're starting to, you're really at the top of it. You have very much like a, I'm a radio DJ.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
And then by the end of it, I'm just like, now I'm a conservative radio DJ. Wah, wah, wah.